Hello, this is Lucas Carlson from CenturyLink and CenturyLink Labs, brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud. Today is a very special day because we get to interview Avi Cavalli at Shippable. He's the CEO and founder of Shippable, and he has been doing some amazing work figuring out how CI/CD can interrelate with Linux containers. Avi, really great to have you. Can you tell us about your background?
First of all, thank you very much, Lucas, for the opportunity. I'm Avi Cavalli, co-founder of Shippable. We founded Shippable back in February of 2013, and we have had iterations on top of it. We've been Docker users for the last 10 months. A little bit of background on myself. I was born in India, Bangalore, actually. Undergrad was mechanical engineering, and then I did a master's at Arizona State in computer science, and then joined Microsoft back in 2000, worked there for 10 plus years, different groups, Xbox, Azure, Kinect was the last group, and then worked on a small startup for about 6-8 months before starting Shippable, and that startup was based off Cloud Foundry, where I saw the need for CI/CD as a service, and that was the inspiration behind going and creating Shippable.
Great. Excellent. So tell us about Shippable. What makes it different? Who should use it? When should they use it? Tell us a little bit more.
So Shippable is predominantly focused towards the developer crowd. Anybody who is kind of bought into the whole agile and continuous delivery kind of concept, which it seems like most of the companies today are folks who should be thinking about using Shippable or products like Shippable out there. People have used Jenkins in the past, and they've made Jenkins do things which it was not designed for, but at the end of the day, what Shippable is about going and solving those fundamental problems of how do I manage infrastructure, how do I manage continuous delivery, and make sure my code is actually always deployable.
Very cool. So when you go to shippable.com and you look at the website, the first thing that stands out to you is that Shippable claims to be 2.5 times faster than other hosted CI/CD environments. How is that possible?
There are a couple of things. One thing is definitely what Docker helped us do. And one of the things that Docker allows us to do, I mean, the 2.5 times faster, what we are really looking at is just pure build time. But if you kind of really take a look at it much more from a holistic way of how long does it take to bring up a machine, how much time it takes to install stuff on it, all that stuff, it's actually much, much, much more faster if you look at it as total cost of operation in terms of time. So the reason why it's faster is one, which is we have built our own proprietary platform from scratch, which is optimized to take advantage of what Docker brings to the table, as opposed to retrofitting an existing server product like Jenkins to do what Docker does. Yeah, we initially tried that approach, and we started having all kinds of issues in terms of scale as well as security, so we decided to build this from scratch. The second thing it does is because Docker is portable, what it allows us to do is to really move around containers on Amazon machines. So what typically people will not use for build machines, we can actually use those kind of machines and allow Docker containers to float around. That gives us the extra horsepower that we need. So you don't really get the noisy neighbor issues or queuing issues, which is what we can do. And then with providers like Amazon, where you can spin up machines with just a few API calls, you can actually do a lot of things in a very, very cost-effective way. And that's the secret behind it.
Very cool. So how does Shippable use Docker? It uses it to spin up and run the code. How is it different than using something like Jenkins?
So Jenkins, basically, the way Jenkins works is there is a master server that Jenkins does, and it uses internally a database. It's pretty much built as a Java jar file, which it runs. And then Jenkins has this whole concept of workers. I think they call it slaves, but I tend to use workers as a better word. And so what ends up happening is to make those workers run, the workers are just like a cron job running on a machine. That means you have to prep the worker machine from scratch. Like if you need like Mongo on it, you need to make sure that the worker machine has all those installs. So you're really getting into more of operations of all of this, machines, VMs, and at some points of time, it's a very transient workload, so you need to manage elasticity. Do I want to keep all these machines running? Do I need to shut it off? All of that stuff starts becoming part of what a developer job is. So what we do at Shippable is Docker allows us to kind of abstract those things out. First thing is you can have standardized images, which with the Docker Hub, you can actually pull an image that probably Mongo actually has pushed for MongoDB. So you can kind of think of it as in the it's all standardized images that we can bring it online within like 2 to 3 seconds without developers having to actually go and monkey around with a lot of Debian packages, installs, and all of that stuff. So what we do is at Shippable, there are two ways of how we use Docker. The first thing is we use Docker containers on which our platform runs natively. So we use the Docker workflows and how our UI server is actually running on a Node Docker container, and it all comes with our custom stuff. So that's one part where the infrastructure of Shippable itself runs on Docker. And then the second part is where our customer builds are actually running on individual containers that are tailored for every single customer. So in terms of Jenkins, if you want to really run Jenkins as a service, now you are sitting down and managing multiple VM images and all of that stuff. Whereas with Docker, I can kind of create a lowest common denominator image and then layer whatever the customer needs, which is specific to them, on top of it. So that allows us operational efficiency, and that means we can run the service way, way more cost effective, and we can pass the savings back to the customer.
So you can really like tune your environment top to bottom. With Jenkins, it's kind of more pulling code in, but with Shippable using Docker, you can create the specific requirements of your container that you're going to test. So you're doing tests that are more closely related to what the code's going to run in production. Is that right?
Absolutely. And one of the biggest advantages of Docker is that it gives you parity between what a VM would do as well as what a container would do. So it's almost like it looks like a VM, it thinks like a VM, it acts like a VM. And especially if you have root privileges, there is absolutely no difference between running this on a VM or a container. And so I think that's one of the huge things where you can basically abstract everything out from the host machine. And it doesn't matter, your host machine could be running just a very basic install like boot to Docker, which has like, it's a 35 meg install. And on top of it, I could bring up Ubuntu containers and CentOS containers and run it on the same exact kernel. So that's a huge advantage where you think of it as, if anybody is in photography, we used to have this issue where when you used film, the speed of the film was always static. So once you put it into the camera, you have to go through the whole roll. Whereas with digital cameras, what you're actually doing is you're able to change the speed of the film from shot to shot. So that's what you think of it as. If it's a VM and a host, then I'm kind of stuck with that OS. Whereas with Docker, I can kind of change it depending on every single workload that I run on that particular machine.
Very cool. That sounds like the next generation of CI/CD. So our audience might have heard of or is familiar with Drone, which also does Docker-based CI/CD. How is this different than Drone?
So two things. I mean, the way I look at it is, first, let's talk about the hosted service. Drone hosted service, at least the last time I checked, do not run Docker. So they are basically still running on VMs, and their service offering is not really, like if you say, hey, I have a GitHub account and I have a Docker Hub account and I want to run CI, I don't want to run anything on-premise, Drone is not really Docker supported. I mean, that doesn't mean that they will not support it in the future. That's one part of it. So the second part of it is also Shippable integrates a lot of tools that you need on top of Drone. Like if you think of Sauce Labs, or you might think of Coveralls and things where you need some visualization on top of what just basic test results saying, hey, I'm going to pump out a JUnit XML file of my test results. We do a lot more stuff on top of it. So the third thing is, we also talk about Docker workflow in the cloud, where once your CI passes, you could potentially say, hey, just like the way I do master merges if CI passes on pull request, you could also start pushing finished containers, which are an amalgamation of your code that actually ran on that particular container. So it's immutable. So if you think of, like, let's say I'm doing a whole bunch of versions, I want to go back 3 versions before, all I do is, hey, container with a tag three versions before, I'm just going to say start that container, your application comes up in a few seconds. Whereas Drone is kind of just going after just pure, hey, I'll run your builds and tests for you. They're not really thinking holistically from it. Now let's take it from an on-premise perspective, which is what Drone, where Drone has like a few Docker images that they have actually pushed out that you could potentially bring up online. What that kind of looks at it as like saying it is still where you're dependent on the Drone images and you have to manage all the workflows between Docker Hub and how you want to push it to your production. Whereas at Shippable, what we are thinking of, which is an on-premise version, which we'll be launching in the next month, I think somewhere around August 15th timeframe, is that we are actually allowing you to run the entire Shippable infrastructure the way we run it in the cloud on your own premise. So you get the full workflows. So you can kind of think of it as if you have GitHub as a source control, you have, let's assume, VMware as your virtualization provider, you could use Shippable and layer Docker on top of it and then get infinite number of machines on top of your existing VMs. So that holistic end-to-end connection is not how Drone is thinking about it. So those are some of the differences I can think of.
Okay, great. That's really interesting because in my last week's interview with Docker CEO Ben Golub, one of the things he pointed out was that CI/CD is really the ideal use case for Docker. Once an organization starts testing out Docker by building some apps within a Docker container, the next step might be to figure out how to host those Docker containers. But he said the ultimate vision is to have the entire workflow incorporate Docker so that you can have on somebody's computer the same environment, the same code, run the exact same way in development as it is in QA, as it is in production. Yeah. And seeing that whole picture is kind of one of the things that Docker is particularly well suited for. Why do you think Docker is so well suited for CI/CD?
So the biggest thing is portability. So like if you think about it, one of the biggest challenges you always had, even with LXC containers, was it was tightly coupled to the machine on which you were actually running. So if I want to be able to say, like, for example, in at Shippable itself, we use Docker workflow end-to-end. Like, we deploy to production, like, at least 10 to 15 times for any particular component in a day. And that deployment is not like, hey, we are going to go do a code deployment. It basically says, bring up another container and shut down the old container. That's all our deployment is. We are really not trying to go and do a whole bunch of copy, move files around, or anything like that. It's just start container, stock container, and our API level is upgraded. So if you think about that, to get to that view, what you need is that container should be the same container that went from your developer machine, went through a CI system, went through a topology-based testing, and eventually made it to pre-prod and prod. So for that portability to work, you need something like Docker, which abstracts everything out from the actual hardware layer. And that's the huge deal about Docker. So even if you look at PaaSes in the past, like Heroku or any of the PaaSes that people still use, like OpenShift, it's very difficult to run the exact same container that those guys run in production on your laptop. So that is one of the huge missing pieces that what Docker actually goes and connects. Now, Vagrant tried to do that to a certain extent, but the problem was you could never run Vagrant in production, whereas you can actually run Docker in production, and all you're doing is just changing the host parameters, and you're able to run it. And that's one of the things that we saw very early on in Docker, which is one of the reasons why we kind of bet on Docker.
Got it. So how will technologies that are more kind of traditional, been around for a long time, like Puppet and Chef, and some of the new ones like SaltStack, interact with CI/CD? How do those worlds combine?
So I think the way to think about it is Chef, Puppet, and the applications that are of that class, they all come from an operational mindset. So they were built for operations to be able to kind of do more efficient things out there. So infrastructure deployment, settings of your core machines and all of that, you will still need tools like these. So I look at it more like a complementary function as opposed to a replacement for any of these things. So what Docker does is it makes developer workflows and all those things become super, super efficient. And especially when you're trying to say, I don't even know whether I want to be on Node 10.24 or the latest version of Node, you're experimenting with a lot of stuff. If you start bringing operation into that view, every single time changing your entire recipe and all of that stuff becomes very time-consuming process. Whereas in Docker, you can pretty much do three different versions of Node in less than 2 hours and test it out on all of it and see whether it actually works or not. So I look at it as there will be a certain stage up to which you will have a Docker workflow, and then Chef Puppet will just be using the Docker containers to push them onto production, including managing the host machines of those production things. You will still need tools like Chef or Puppet.
Got it. So what isn't good about Shippable yet? Where is it not as mature as tools that might have been around longer?
So I think one of the things where there is a lot of enterprise stuff that happens, and especially working at Microsoft for 10 plus years, I saw a lot of workflows that enterprise focus is a lot of things about governance. How do I actually make sure there is enough audit level capabilities? So if you think about it, since we are a developer focused workflow, it's kind of like you can look at it and an operation person will look at it and says, this is crazy. I don't even know what is running in production anymore because things are just moving so fast. So we need to build a lot more governance. We need to build a lot more controls. It could be as simple as a container is sitting in your pipeline and you get a text message and says somebody in operation says, yes, let this go into production. I mean, it could be as simple as that. So we need to build a lot more on that. We have been focused a lot on making developer workflows and developer life much more easier. We need to start focusing a little bit on how the whole operation data center works. And that's where some of the challenges are going to be for the next 6 months.
Got it. So how is Shippable different than some of the kind of more traditional hosted CI services like Travis and Circle? Besides being apparently 2.5 times faster, is there any other big difference?
So I think there are two things which I kind of spend a lot of time thinking about. One is CI is just a checkpoint. It's not a product. It's just a feature. I mean, what really happens end to end when an application goes from development to production is very, very different than just saying, hey, I have a CI service, CI passed it, and I'm going to go production. I mean, that's not how it actually runs. So where we are coming from is we looked at CI as an opportunity to kind of have an important piece of the workflow to run more efficiently, and then we can expand from there. So that's the first thing that we knew up front. So we built the product as opposed to saying, hey, let's think about CI only and make it our life. We kind of looked at it as CI is a feature that people will need. Maybe some people don't even need CI. They might just bypass it and do functional testing to allow them to figure out. That's one. Second thing is, one of the things that we also saw was pure cloud was a very difficult business to be in. So what we did is, while everybody were trying to figure out how to take server products and make it into cloud, we knew from day one, I mean, this was Azure and Cloud Foundry and all of that stuff. We knew from day one that what you really need is a super solid cloud service that can actually run on premise also if people choose to. So what we did is we built it in such a way that it can run as a server product without having to go do any open heart surgery on our platform. So if you ask me today what is the clear difference, there's enough stuff we can do. Like they run VMs, we run Docker, we do visualization, we do a lot of stuff on top of in terms of features, but they're all CI focused. But where we are really going after is how do we bridge, think of it as GitHub Enterprise connecting to VMware stack and allowing you to kind of use Docker on top of maybe a VMware stack VM. Or it could be as simple as it could be physical machines. So we never know where that's going to go. But that's the kind of directionally where we are going in terms of where I see Shippable in the next 6 to 12 months.
Very cool. That's very exciting stuff. And I think that one of the things that excites me about Shippable is something that excites me generally about what's going on in the industry in a bigger sense, which is starting to see some of these mega collaboration sites I think GitHub is an excellent example. As a when you start combining something like GitHub with Docker Hub, and they both have OAuth capabilities, and you can create stuff that integrates with both of their APIs, it changes a lot of things about how people think about building applications. We first started seeing the OAuth integrations with GitHub changing the landscape of CI/CD and enabling things like Travis and Circl, and now we're adding Docker Hub into that, and that yet again changes things generationally. What do you think is the possible world look like when you start combining these mega collaboration social features together? You guys are kind of at the apex. You're one of the early people thinking in that kind of way. So what does the world look like when we start combining Docker Hub and GitHub and seeing what happens?
So I think it was kind of like serendipity that we named our company Shippable. I mean, this was even before Docker was existing. I mean, we named our company Shippable. And the way we thought of it was we need to be building shipping lanes for applications. So think of it as just how containers move across these massive ships from China to US and across the world. Applications will move around that way. So Docker making it portable does two things. One is it levels the playing field between service providers like data center providers or cloud service providers out there. So it's no longer like, hey, I can be super sticky because I have AMIs or I have something that people have to live with. I can move containers around. I could be running on data center 1 today, going into data center 2 tomorrow, depending on how I think of it. So there's been a whole promise of burst scenarios, cloud burst scenarios, and things that people talked about, but really nobody has actually made it work in real life. I mean, including even at Xbox Live, where we ran 20,000 servers, we didn't have a cloud burst scenario, even with budgets of $200, $300 million worth of infrastructure. So what Docker does is enables those. When you have those kind of scenarios that being enabled, what you really need is an orchestration layer on top of it. And that's how we look at Shippable. So that's why CI is just a feature of how I look at the landscape as opposed to what Shippable's potential is. So the way we think of it is think of it as a developer uses basically GitHub to do coding. An operation person uses Docker Hub to actually manage images. You can use Shippable to create an amalgamation between that image and the source code, which has gone through a series of inspections, CI being one of it, topology testing maybe the next of it. And now you have an atomic unit of your application that kind of says, think of it as package.json for your whole application, which tells you middleware is version 73, caching is version 15, UI is version 20, and you have this whole package.json that you can kind of ship as a unit. So managing that workflow is where we see Shippable and the future of Shippable.
Got it. And you've kind of touched on this already, but I'm curious, what is next for CI/CD? What does continuous integration look like in the next 3 to 5 years? Where is it headed? How is it changing? What do we have to look out for?
I think I don't like the word continuous integration as a word because it's really not integration. What you're really doing is integration on a single box. I mean, that's what continuous integration in the traditional world is known as. I think where we really need to go towards is more of continuous delivery. That doesn't mean it's continuous deployment. I mean, the way I look at continuous delivery is at any given time, somebody can deploy without asking anyone whether I can deploy this or not. So that whole thing of like saying, hey, it's not like Wild Wild West where anything and everything gets deployed. It's more of like saying, hey, but whatever gets to this particular gate needs to be deployable. And that's where I like the word continuous delivery a lot more than continuous integration and deployment. And then continuous integration, just doing it on one box is not enough. What you really need is topology-based testing. And hopefully you can see somewhere where instead of topology-based testing, today happens maybe once in a week or maybe once in a month, depending on what the maturity of the company is. I want to see that get closer to the developer, where think of it as with Docker, I can pretty much have a single VM with maybe 200 containers running. So that means my 10-person dev team, each of them can have 20 different containers on which they can actually do real testing before I say, hey, this really works. So you're going to see this thing where more and more bugs will get caught right at the development phase, which means your innovation cycle is going to be much, much, much faster. So that's kind of how I see it as. It's no longer, hey, it works on my box. It actually works on the topology. It might still run on my box, but it's actually running the real topology as opposed to stubbed out versions on my laptop.
That makes a lot of sense. And does this have to do also with the direction that coding is going in general, closer towards things like 12-factor applications and microservices, where you, instead of building big monolithic applications that do everything, you split out your application into small RESTful APIs that each focus on doing one thing really well, but what you get is a complicated decoupled system. So you're trading some of the, you never get rid of problems. You're just trading problems. You have a new kind of problem, and now microservices are great because each service is a simpler service. It's easier to compose. It has known APIs, and you can use them in those APIs and bring them in on the client side, and you can do it for mobile or web, and so it's got lots of benefits. But then one of the big problems with it is now you actually have to deal with a distributed system.
And, yeah, it's a fragmented system.
Yeah, it's a fragmented system. And so CI/CD wasn't built to test distributed systems that are a collaboration of many microservices all together. Is that kind of where you think CI/CD,
exactly,
the future of CI is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what I was trying to get to is what I kind of alluded to topology-based testing and package.json for your application itself. So instead of just saying, hey, I'm using a particular library of this version, now think of it as that whole component is versioned, and I'm using this version of my API versus saying, hey, I'm using just this particular package of this version. So I think the way I look at it is it all depends on what is the need of the market and what the economic benefits are. And I think what is happening with cloud and all these stuff is the human capital is the most expensive part of your life cycle in an application development. Whereas if you looked at 20 years ago, it was the data center which was the biggest cost, and most people raised venture capital because they needed to go build data centers. So it's just a different pendulum that it is swinging towards. And it's the same thing with databases. Like back in the old 1970s, all databases were flat files. And then somebody came back and said, it's too expensive, so let's do normalization, and relational databases were born. And then you got to a point where storage became super cheap, and then the amount of data exploded. Now you're going back to saying, hey, let's build file-based databases. So you're kind of going in this whole cyclic process. And so I think it's the same thing where we are going into this whole distributed, fragmented architectures where I rely more than build more.
And
that's where I think, especially like Docker and things like that, where you can get both benefit of both worlds.
Got it. So why are customers switching to Shippable? What attracts them to trying out your service? And is there a free tier? Is this something our listeners can go try out and play with right now?
Absolutely. I mean, you can pretty much do private repositories for free on Shippable at this stage.
Whoa.
So you can actually go up to 5 private repositories and run CI, and any of our competition, you do pay an arm and a leg to actually do that if you want to do private. A lot of folks support open source, but nobody does private, and we are doing that. The reason why people are switching is the simplicity. And if you really try Shippable, you will see that within 5 to 10 minutes, you have your full advanced CI system up and running. No servers, no plugins, or anything like that. And even if people have come back and said, hey, this is a multi-tenant service, I can probably be faster running Jenkins myself. One of our customers actually ran a VM with Jenkins and ran the same exact project, and we were still 40% faster than that. So I think it makes absolutely no sense to be having developers manage build infrastructure. So I think that's one thing. Second is we make it super, super easy. And third is that, of course, the speed at which your builds are, especially if you're pushing 20, 30 commits a day, and if your build is 3 minutes faster, you're talking about an hour of saving. Otherwise, you're kind of sitting and waiting for your CI to finish. So those are some of the things. And of course, price is definitely an attractive thing for a lot of folks. And that's one thing. And we'll continue to keep optimizing it.
What's the basic price if you for the cheapest paid plan?
So $10, and you get two containers or minions. We call them workers, and so you get two of them, so you can do parallel builds. So if you think of like a 3 or 4 person team, our free plan is more than enough for them to run. If you start talking about, hey, I have 3 different teams, they are distributed, and we need a lot of check-ins happening, we really adopt Agile, then having parallelization helps. And even at a $25 plan, you get 5 parallel, and it's still not, I mean, CI should be something that everybody should be doing. So we shouldn't be really trying to make money on just pure CI. So.
Got it. Are you able to say publicly how many people are using Shippable right now?
We have 4,500 accounts so far, or users who have signed up. We are running, I think, about 7,500 containers in total right now. It's probably the biggest Docker container system that's running out there at this stage.
Wow. So. That's great. So, final question, what's next for Shippable? What's the future of Shippable hold? You mentioned earlier there's going to be an on-prem Shippable, which sounds cool, but what else?
So, I won't take away all the stuff that we're going to be announcing in the next 3 weeks. So, if you can just stay tuned for the next 3 weeks, you will see a lot of stuff. Just give you some hints, we will have full Docker Hub integration and all of that stuff. So, things that we talked about hypothetically or kind of pontificated about how things need to be, I think we are making some of those things become real in the next 3 weeks.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate your time and really appreciate learning more about where CI/CD is going, and love to have you back on and give us an update in a few weeks.
Sure. Thank you very much, Lucas, for inviting me over here. Cool.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.